Today's daf is Nedarim daf Mem. Nedarim daf Mem. Amud Beis is extremely short, only a couple lines. Amud Aleph is a little bit longer, especially for Nedarim daf, but it again is a continuation of very much Agadaza discussing further stories. We started already on Matzah Shabbos. We started already daf Mem. Let's go back to Lamed Tes Amud Beis, last line of the page, Vayter, and the topic of Bikur Cholim. Rav Chelbi Cholash Nafek Achuz Rav Kana. Rav Chelbi got sick, and Rav Kana went out and called out to the people, top of Mem Amud Aleph. He's called out Rav Chelbi Boish. He called out Rav Chelbi is sick. Go visit him. Lo Ika, we're on the top line. We are on the top line of Mem Amud Aleph. Lo Ika de Kaasi. There was no one that came to visit Rav Chelbi. Amud Aleph kind of said, Lo Kachai Maisa, wasn't this the story, similar story took place? But Tamanachim Tamanir Rabbi Kiva, one of Tamanir of Rabbi Kiva, Shechol who got sick, Lenichus Chom Levakre, and the Chom didn't come in to visit him. The Nichus Rabbi Kiva Vakre, and finally Rabbi Kiva came in to visit this sick Talmud, and what happened? And because they swept the floor and they made the dust settle in front of the chayla, so he became better. The chayla got better. So then the question is, was it that Rabbi Kiva saw the room was dirty and he gave instructions to them to clean it? That's one pshat. Or another pshat is Rabbi Kiva himself cleaned it. A third pshat is that when they saw Rabbi Kiva coming in, so in honor of Rabbi Kiva, they cleaned it, or Bechlal, in honor of Rabbi Kiva, they said, this Talmud is Talmud Rabbi Kiva, so they cleaned it for the Talmud. Either way, Rabbi Kiva's visit led to the room being cleaned, the dust was settled, and the room was cleaned up, and the fresh air and the clean room helped, and Rabbi Kiva's visit, presumably, helped aid in the Talmud getting better. What does the Talmud say to Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva, Hechizani, Rabbi Kiva, you've brought me back to life. Yatz Rabbi Kiva, Darsh Kiva, Nana Darshind, Komisha Invak Chaylim, Kil Shefer Tamim. Because he realized his visitation caused the Chaylim to come back to life, so he made a declaration the other way. Whoever doesn't go and visit the Chaylim is being Shefer Tamim. He's Shefer Tamim because he's not helping out the Chaylim, which couldn't be the difference between life and death like it was in Rabbi Kiva's situation. Now, why were the people not coming? Rabbi Chelbi, we're not going to have the same answers, but at least for Rabbi Kiva. Why were Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, one of the Talmidim got sick, so why were the other Talmidim not coming to visit? So we know famously, not that we want to throw more shade, but we know famously there was the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva all died out in Sfira, almost all of them died out, because they're Ashalei Nagu Kavod Zelzeh. Obviously, on their own Madrega, but they weren't Kavod Zelzeh. Maybe this relates to that. Maybe. Perhaps. I don't want to, speculate and make it worse that maybe it was, but perhaps this relates to that. Or we could say that some of the Farshim bring down that we had in yesterday's daf. Well, actually, maybe it'll come up again in today's daf. But we had that a person who's sick, the visitor takes a 60th away from the chayla. Someone who's sick, the visitor goes and takes the 60th away from the chayla. That was towards the end of the daf we discussed, that if you have a person sick and the 60th gets taken away, then why don't you just have a bunch of people come visit, 60 people, and the chayla, the sickness will be totally gone. And we explained it means a 60th of what's left. So a 60th, and then the 60th of what's remaining, and a 60th of what's remaining. So it'll be an infinite amount of people that cause the sickness to fully go away. But the point is, a visitor takes away a sickness, but then the Gemara qualified, but ben gilay. Dafka by someone who's the same bar mazel. Ben Gila means someone who's the same bar mazel, then it's going to be, he'll have this effect. If he's not the same Ben Gila, one of this effect could be the other Talmidim felt like they weren't the same Ben Gila. So they felt it wasn't really worth their time, so to speak. It wasn't a worthy cause because they're not going to be able to have that effect because they're not Ben Gila, so they didn't go. But Rabbi Kiva demonstrates them that no, even if you're not Ben Gila, going to visit the sick could be very helpful. Okay, but that's the two different explanations why they didn't go, either because they weren't Naikav Zevazet properly, or because they felt like they weren't the Ben Gile. Now, what does it mean, Kila Shevel Tamim? So, Mefarsh explains really what we spoke out, that since when you come to visit the Chayla, you take care of his needs, you tend to the needs that are missing, help him out, and helps him get better. So, not showing up is Shevel Shefichas Tamim. Nitziv adds an Akud, and very well with the next Gemara as well, the Nitziv adds is even more than that. That, he says, a very Mechudistic idea, but when a person's not Mavaka Chayla, and the fellow he didn't visit was very ill, was perhaps deathly ill, and then that fellow gets better, there's a big embarrassment on behalf of the non-mavaker, the non-visitor, for not visiting. And in the back of his mind, he almost wishes he won't see the guy again. Well, wishing he won't see the guy again, because he doesn't face that embarrassment, is kind of wishing that he doesn't get better. Even if it's not a conscious thought, it may be a subconscious thought, but it's a thought that he doesn't want to face the music, and therefore, in a way, he's wishing Shvichas Damim again, not... I wouldn't say at all consciously, but at least in a subconscious way, he's wishing Shvichas Damim. Maybe that's the connection, as I Zak the Netziv as a little bit of an addition to Agamara. Now, based on our Gemara, there's a discussion. There's other Gemaras that relate to this as well. But the discussion, we know Bikur Chaylim is clearly done when you go visit the Sechayla and you tend to their needs and you give them chizik. What about Bikur Chaylim Ayedei, a telephone, right? A more recent invention. But what about through a telephone? You can mekayim Bikur Chaylim in that way. So Rav Meisha, the Achronim have different psakim, different tshuvas on it. Rav Meisha writes that the answer is yes and no. And that what that means is certain things like Rabbi Akiva came and what he did himself, what they did because of him, seeing the physical needs directly, being there in person, seeing the room is dusty, seeing those needs, that could only be done in person. But you could certainly give chizik on the phone. You could see the fact that the chayil is sick and daven for him. You can get inspired daven for him on the phone. So certain needs can be taken care of on the phone as well. And therefore, Rav Meisha says that the short answer is a person can be mekuyim Bikur Chaylim on the phone. Yes, you get a kiyum, but it's still only a partial kiyum. It doesn't compare to coming in person. Coming in person is a person of the chayil to have a full kiyum of a Bikur Chaylim. So on the phone is a partial kiyum. It is a kiyum, but only in person would you get a full kiyum. That is Ramesh's tshuva on the matter. Okay, similar related conversation. Kasher Avdimi Amar, where Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he says, whoever visits the sick, he is gerim that he should live. Again, we're mem amen aleph. We are a few lines down, about eight to ten lines off the top of the page. And whoever is not mevakeh chayla actually causes the chayla to die. So the Mara says, whoa, my grumma, what does it mean that the visitor caused the sick person to live or to die? If you see what it means, there's a person who visits the sick, he's being mevakeh rachamim that the sick person should live. He sees the sick person in his matzav, he's mevakeh rachamim should live, so that's what causes him to live. But then the flip side, whoever is not mevakir, he's being mevakish rachman, the guy should die. Does that make sense? The interpretation doesn't follow. The one who visits the chayla davens him to get better. Great. The one who doesn't visit davens him to die. Says Gemara, Ella, kol she'ein mevakir chayla, ein mevakish rachman, le'shich le'vashemas. No, it just means one who visits the chayla, he's mevakish rachman, the guy gets better. One who doesn't visit the chayla, he's not mevakish rachman. Not for good, not for life, not for death. But not mevakeh rachamim. So you lose that element. So what exactly is the Shakataya? There's a malach in the I think in the later achronim that they wanted. I shouldn't say later achronim. In the achronim, maybe it was the Inyakov or the Eitzesef. One of the achronim wanted to suggest the Shakataya Gemara was that a person who doesn't visit the chayla is because he's of the belief that the chayla is beyond repair. We'll see such an idea later in the daf, and therefore he wants the chayla to die. So it's not stam that one who visits the chayla, he's caring still, he wants the chayla to get better, he damages the chayla to get better. One who doesn't visit thinks that it's better perhaps that the chayla moves on to the next world. And on that, the Gemara is deflecting and saying that no, that avada, how could that be? It's always better, yafish rachas, shall tshuva maisim tovim in this world, even if a person has a very not geshmaka situation in the world, still better to be here and be having tshuva, ma'aseh tov, and kapara than being out of this world. And therefore, it can't be davening for death. So therefore, it must be if he sees him, he goes visit to daven for life. And if he doesn't see him, he won't daven b'chlal for life or for death. That is the simple reading of the Gemara, and that's how some of the Achorim learn. However, the Ran over here, a very powerful Ran the Rishon, on our page. Let's read the top Ran inside. Says the Ran, Einam avakash shel avrachim leishich leveshamis. Ran takes the Gemara's lashon literally. He won't daven for the guy if he doesn't visit. He won't daven for him to live or to die. But it sounds like the Ran says. What does it sound like from our Gemara? There is a concept of davening for a person to move on. I don't say to die, but that's essentially what it means. There's a concept of davening a person shiyamis, and it's the Ran is suggesting that it is not a mistaken type of tefillah. Let's see. Nirbeinai, says the Ran. Let's read it inside. There's times that you should be davening for Rachmanis, for the Chayla, that he should be Yamas. Very specific set of scenarios. He's in immense pain. He's in a lot of pain. So you need those two nekudas. And he's impossible to get better. Meaning, he's at a point where it's impossible to get better, and he's just suffering immense pain. So he's going to die. And he's just suffering pain to prolong his life, to suffer pain. Very similar to a conversation we had about 2 weeks ago about hastening death in order to, for a person who's about to die, in order to avoid pain. I think we have a Daf Lamed Zayin, we had it, right? With the come, one person went and shechted someone else in front of Ula, and he shechted another guy in front of Ula, and he said, did I do good? And Ula said, yeah, you did good, now separate his head from his body so he could die faster. And we discussed how he's allowed to do that. L'chari not hasten to death. Okay, it's a whole conversation we all learned this back then. The point is, you're certainly not allowed to hasten death. And normally, you're not allowed to do something, be a dayim taste in that. Over here, we're not talking about doing something be dayim. We're talking about tefillah. And we're saying in the case of a person's for sure, you have two steps over here. The person, Nebuchadnezzar, is for sure going to die, and he's in immense pain. Then yes, you could have for death. And we bring a raya. This raya is something we had not so long ago. We had this in the last couple of weeks of Masechtas Ksuvos. Says the Ran further. Like we had in Perkonaisi Ksuvos, the Staff Kufdalad, the Kiv and the Chaz, Am Sedi Rebbe, Dalkam is in the basic Kisei of Anach Tefillin. He was, towards the end of his life, he was suffering a lot. He had to keep going to the basic Kisei, taking on the Tefillin, putting off the Tefillin, taking on the Tefillin, putting off the Tefillin. And he's Bitzar, the Kom Bitzar, and she saw that he was in a lot of Tzar. So Amra, if you remember over there, she actually, Ron's quoting the second part, she switched her Tefillah. Initially, in the Shemayim, they were trying to, so to speak, win to get Rebbe to come up to them in Shemayim. And on this earth, the Yidden, the whole Jewish world was davening that Rebbe should be spared. They want the Rebbe to stick around with them. He was the leader of the generation. And she was davening that the Tachtoinim, this world, should overcome beat the Elyonim Shemayim. Once she saw the Tsar Rebbe was going through, then she switched. And what did she say? Amri Yiratzen Sheikhvu Elyonim Tachtoinim. Let the Elyonim beat the Tachtoinim Kalaymar. Dilemus Rebbe, that yeah, let it switch over, that Rebbe should never pass, the Rebbe should pass on, because that's what's better in this matzav. And that's why it says when a person vakachela, he helps with his tefillah, afil lichyes, meshi tefillah yesim waylas, umishayin vakre, enzerach leymar. When one of that finds, visits a sick person, his tefillah can help even to make a person live, which is the best, of course, that's the best option. And when one doesn't visit, not only is he not going to daven for him to live properly because he's not seeing the chayla, it's a klamish in a meila lelichis ela afilu heichad ikal lehanah b'misa. Even if the better benefit for this person is misa, he won't daven for that either. Afilu heichad rashi in a manayu. Even that little benefit, he won't give him either because he's not going to daven on his behalf. The Ran is clearly saying that one is allowed to, and it's a proper anaga if someone is for sure going to die and just suffering pain to daven for them to move on in the most peaceful way possible to move on to the next world. Unbelievable, Ran. Now, do we paskin this way? Big discussion in the Paiskim. Rav Shammai Zalman brings actually kind of a, I don't want to say a pshara, Rav Shammai Zalman brings, yeah, you could daven, like Duran says, for a person in this exact situation to pass on. However, you cannot do anything to hasten the death. That everyone agrees. You're not allowed to have tzricha. To hasten the death is tzricha. But what does that mean? So on a base level, you say what that means is, you still have to give the person food if they're nebuch eating from a IV or a tube. You have to still give them the food. And you still have to give them oxygen. But Rav Shammai Zalman held even more than that. That if a person is getting some sort of treatment, whatever the treatment, without getting to specific treatments, whatever the treatment may be, and stopping that treatment will almost certainly hasten the death, Rav Shammai Zalman held, you still have to continue giving that treatment as well. So essentially, all Rav Shammai Zalman is saying is, you let it daven, like the Ran says, but for all practical purposes, anything else that you're doing, you have to still continue to do in the regular fashion. Other Paiskim, to say you can't even daven, we don't pass like the Ran, and you can't even daven for death, and certainly have to keep treating and doing proactive treatment. And other places can take the opposite and say, Rosh Shechter, I don't know if he passed it this way, but he did have a question on Rosh Hashanah Zalman's Pesach, that Manavshach. Once you're saying that you could daven for the person to pass on, so it's one thing to say you can't be Menei, you can't withhold oxygen and food, that of course you can't do. But all the treatments, doing further treatments to prolong L'chaira, that would be, if you're davening for the person to die, and then you're doing treatments, it's almost like you're doing opposite things. It would seem to be a little bit of a stira. Again, I'm not saying that I heard him give a psak that you don't have to do the treatments. Chas v'shalom, I'm not saying that. Maybe he would paskin, maybe he wouldn't. That's not what I'm saying. But he did have a kasha on the psak, and other places can certainly do argue on Rav Shammai Zalman and say that short of giving basic needs like food and oxygen, we do not have to do treatments to prolong a person in a shver matziv. Just like you could daven for them to pass on, like this Ron says, you could also stop doing any proactive treatments that would be allowed. Again, obviously, there's a shilas that are meant for major gedolim. They're horrible shilas, and shilas that nonetheless come up very often, and they're meant for big gedolim, but not passing from a daf, from a shir. But this is the basis for this conversation is very much, this Ron is a big source in the conversation. Okay, now, the Chum Sefer explains the whole Gemara with a chap, with a different halach. Meaning, we're saying in our Gemara, daven that he should live, or if you don't visit him, you daven he should die. So the Chum Sefer has a chap shot. What does it mean, daven he should die? So again, it's not like such a comfortable shot. Some of the Achrayim already want to say, you're not daven he should die. It just means that there was a havamina, and the Kamash Malin is Yafa Sha'achas, but Shubai Stevim, and therefore you shouldn't daven he should die. But the Chum Sefer says, no, he has a Kishmak chap. The halach is, Gemara and Brachas tells us that when you daven for a chayla, you're supposed to say the chayla's name. But if you're in the presence of the chayla, you need not say the chayla's name. Since you're in the presence of the chayla, you daven on his behalf, and you don't have to mention his name. Now, why does it make a difference? Because the Sfarim write that when you say the name of the chayla, ironically enough, by mentioning the name, it brings about a little bit of a midas adin on the name. By bringing out the name, it brings the name into judgment. Shemayim brings a little bit of mitzvah. Now it's worth it, it's overridden. It's by the tefillas that one's doing on behalf of the chayla that overrides that mitzvah aden. Therefore, it's worth it to mention the name and daven on behalf of the chayla. It's clear, it's what we do. However, if you're in the presence of the chayla, you get the best of both worlds. You can daven for the chayla, and you don't have to mention the name. Says Chassam Sefer, when you're in person, you daven for the chayla, and you don't mention his name, so it's fully chiyas. When you're not in person, even if you're davening for him, you now have to mention his name, and that's a little bit bringing misa, meaning not that you're davening for misa, you're bringing a little misa, because you're bringing in that midas adin. Again, a nice chap shot based on the svarim and the gemara brachas, daf lamed dalet. Okay, says the word further. Rava Yemekadma the Chalish. Rava, the first day that he took ill, Amalahain, you tell the people of his bias, of his household, his Talmidim, Le Sigmul and she. Don't reveal to people that I'm, don't reveal to anyone, probably people of his house, don't reveal to anyone that I'm sick. Delilah Shemazla, shouldn't bring that his mazel is worse, that meaning that once it's spoken about, it's known, Ayel Chertz Metzias. No, you see this concept very clearly, that once it's spoken about, the Farshim, the Mashar brings an idea of Bris Krus L'Sfasayim, there's a Bris about the lips, and there's a concept of Mar Brachas, Al Diftach Pelasatan, something comes out of the mouth, it gives it more life, it breathes more life into the idea. And therefore, you should not tell people that I'm sick, Rav says like this, it won't bring mazel, it won't, you know, it won't promote more mazel about the fact that I'm sick, and perhaps I get better faster. But after being sick for a day, I'm going to say, Adar Rabbah, tell people, go call on the market, go call on the shuk. Why? That I'm sick. Whoever doesn't like me will be happy. And it says about a person not being, about rejoicing in the fall of their enemy, and that itself will be a schus for me. So those who don't like me will be happy that I'm sick. I'm sure there weren't too many people like that. But Rabbi, maybe Rabbi was listen, a huge leader, big time chacham, and every time there's a big leader, a leader that's a good leader will always have people that aren't into him because they, you know, always take issue. They don't a leader that everyone loves sometimes maybe is not being the most proper leader. Right, because that means maybe he's not rebuking enough, or maybe so. Even Rava had people that didn't like him. So Rava says, those people don't like me, they'll get happy, and that'll be a schus for me. And the people that do like me, they'll daven for me, and therefore we'll get that merit. This, of course, without getting too deep into this, is the age-old discussion. Sometimes there's two different huggas when people never take ill. Very often they try to keep it a secret. Sometimes it's just simply for privacy purposes. They want sneeze, they want privacy. They like to deal with things in their own way. But often the idea really comes from, and it's sometimes they let the rabbi know, and the rabbi should daven. And the idea really comes from really these two facets of Rav's conversation. One facet is that as long as it's quiet, the first line of Rav says, it protects the mazel more. It's on a very basic level, it requires, you could say, of course, the sickness, the illness is a metzias, but it requires less of a nes nigla, we'll call it, if it's an ace, even if it's not a nes, but less of a somewhat of a Yeshua nigla to be saved, because if people aren't so aware and the fellow wasn't well, it requires less of a shinui from Maisa Bereishis for the person to be cured, and that itself makes it potentially easier for the person to be cured. On the flip side, the tefillas, if you say that once the illness is there, it's a metzias, the tefillas of the people, the tzibur, and when the tzibur gets together in daven, that's the most powerful thing, and that itself could be the biggest Yeshua for a cure. And that's the age old, it's not a new debate, it's been a debate for many, many years that people have, different people approach things differently, but those are the two sides of the equation. It actually relates to the parshas that we have right now. When the parshas, the past week's parsha, Dina and Yosef were born, and of course we know famous, it's brought down in the Medrash, it's brought down really Gemara, and neither really refers to this reference, the Masha neither really brings it out more clearly, that I think it's a Yosef ben Aziel also mentions this, that really the babies in Rachel and Leah's stomach were flipped, that Leah realized that she was going to have her seventh boy, that means Rachel would have less than the Imai, so she davened than the other than the Bill and Zilpah, than the maidservants, so she davened that her baby should be a girl. Rachel was pregnant really with Dina. Yosef was pregnant with Rachel was pregnant with Dina. Leah was pregnant with Yosef, and they switched. I don't know if the baby switched or the body exactly what switched. That's part of the medrash over there. And the actual baby switched in each other's stomach. The mother's, the malchim switched the baby in the mother's stomach, and that's why Dina was the yetzanis. Dina was a. Let me rephrase that. Either they switched the actual embryos, that's one of Medrash, or the baby in Leah's stomach switched from a boy to a girl, and the baby in Rachel's stomach switched from a girl to a boy. If you go with the second malach that the babies didn't switch places, but each baby switched their gender, it's understandable why Yosef was Masalsa Basari, has some tunas of a girl. He's very busy curling his hair, as Chazal tell us, and Dina, it's very busy, but he was busy, active with it, and Dina was the Yitzanis. Dina was outgoing, which is typically not a midah of a girl, that's a midah of a boy. Dina had the midah of a girl of being a Yatsanis, right? Again, these days, society has changed a lot, and the role of a girl in today's society has changed a lot. It's a mitzvah, of course, not just in the Jewish world, even the Jewish world, so harder for us to appreciate it, but the difference was stark. And Dina being Yitzhanis, now, basically, the Mepharshim tells us that Dina's mother, Leah, was already Yitzhanis. That wouldn't fit with this narrative, but the point is, perhaps Dina was Yitzhanis because she really started off as a boy, and then it was changed to a girl because of the tefillahs. Of the tefillahs of the mother. What shaykhs this conversation? So the Mepharshim speak out, there's a medrash that says, there's a gemara that says that after 40 days, a person davens that the child should be a certain gender. Typically, the tefillah was that it should be a ben zachar. That's typically a person's tefillah, that the child should be a ben zachar. Ben zachar is more mitzvahs without getting into the conversation about why male or female, but the tefillah would be that it should be a ben zachar. But after 40 days, the wife's pregnant, it's already determined what the baby is. Abraham Yang, the baby's already created. To daven is tefillah shav, as the Gemara says. But there's a medrash that says not like that. That until the wife is on the birthing stool, you could daven for the gender of the baby. Until the wife's on the birthing stool, you could daven for the gender of the baby. And the idea is, the first tzad is because it's Matthias. Once the baby's created, it's created. Once it's a boy or girl, you can't switch it. You're diving essentially for a nace. And the other side of the medrash really is that, yeah, call it a nace all you want, but if it's still in the mother's stomach, then these days we have ultrasound, I understand, but call it a nace all you want. Until the baby's born, no one really knows for sure what it is. And therefore, what type of nace is it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just twisting the gender inside. And therefore, that medrash says you can still dive in until the birthing stool again. I don't know if we pass like the Medrash over the Gemara. The point just is, it relates to that same conversation, that something which is hidden from the eye is considered less of a nace, even if in fact it is a nace. The change is less of a nace because people don't know about it. Same idea, the same idea they connected to the conversation about hiding an illness or not. Okay, Vayter. Says the Gemara. So Rava would let the people know that they should daven after the first day. Amara. Whoever is Mabaka Chayla, he's saved from the din of Kenem Shemar. Ashri Maskal Do Yamer Yura Yimalteo Hashem. The Ashri Maskal Do, of course, that's the capital in Tilan Perik Mem Aleph. Things right in the beginning of the second day. Ashri Maskal Do Yura Yimalteo Hashem. We darshan that dal is going to mean the person who's sick, and ra is genim. Ein dal el chayla shenemar medali vatzeni inami. Another pasuk that dal means genim. Dal means the someone sick. Minhadin kra madu atakacha dal ben amelch babeka babeker and ein ra genim shenemar kopa hashem lemaneu vegam rasha liyem ra. Okay, so a person who helps is mivak chayli safe from genim. Says whoever biker maschari. So if he goes to visit the sick, what's going to be a schar? Ask him, what are you talking about? We just said what the schar is. He's a master schar. Maschari kedamar needs to be the genim. What do you mean? What's a schar? His schar is that he saved from the din of genim. Says Gemara, al maschar bel mazel. We mean is, yeah, that's a schar for Yeneveld. In the next world, he gets schar. They save from the judgment of genim. What's going to be a schar in? What's going to be a schar in this world? Before we see the Gemara's answer to 2 points of this. First of all, what does it mean? He needs something to get him, or why is it? So the morale explains to me the Gemida. We just had earlier in the daf, we're explaining that Rabbi Kiv went to visit the Chayla, and he saved the person from the throes of death by visiting him alone. He saved his life. The idea is that being Mevakach Chaylam is coming there to not just visit the person, but I mean, it's more that you give him chizik, you're hopefully tending to his needs, you're helping save him from potential demise. So if he saved this person, most people when they die, they will have some point, some, hopefully it's very short, hopefully it's not long at all, but some sort of time passing through Gehenna before they get to the, you know, before they get cleansed. So he's saving this person from death / Gehenna, Mida Kenagamida, by being Mavak Chaylam, and Mida Kenagamida, therefore he gets saved from Gehenna. That is the Maral's explanation. Other Chaylam say very similar, they give a different, the idea is still Mida Kenagamida. Some of the Mida, he's saving the fell from Gehenna, and therefore he gets saved from Gehenna. They may not go with the exact same explanation of the morale, but a similar type of idea regarding Midika Gemida. Now, Agamar asks, so what's the Schar B'Almazah? Who said there's Schar B'Almazah? We know what the Gemara tells us, Schar Mitzvah by Amaleka. Schar is for mitzvahs, is not in this world. The Schar is the ultimate Schar is in the next world. That's the place where the Schar is real, where it's enduring. That's when you get Schar. Schar Mitzvah in this world is Leka. So what's Agamar's question? Yeah, you told me you get Schar of Zay from Yehenim. That's the next world. What's the Schar in this world? So the first answer beautifully. Says the Yaakov, it's a mission we say every morning by Brachas by Brichas Atayra, the first mission in the Sechtos Peah. It's also Gemara and Shabbos. I think it's Kufchav Zayin, Kufchav Ches. The Gemara and Shabbos references the same idea that there are certain mitzvahs that a person has the Peiris Beil Mazeh, the Karen Kamas Elam Abba. The Karen, the primary reward remains in place by Mabba. But the Peiris are already here in this world. And what's one of those mitzvahs on the list? Of course, the Mishnah Peah, Bikur Chaylim. So that's why Gemara is coming from there. Gemara is saying, I know. Save from Gehenim, that's our Gemara, Yibraim, Yibraim, Yimaltei Hashem, beautiful, Bikachem, save from Gehenim, that's in the next world. What's about the Schar in this world? And we know it exists because of the Mishnah Peah. It says Gemara, Hashem Yishreyo, The Gemara is elaborate all parts of the pasuk. Hashem will save the person who's vakachelim in this world. It'll be protection from his yetzera. V'cheyom in esurim will be also. He'll get chias away from his suffering. People will be mechabed him, or they'll take pride in him. He'll have good friends available. Like what type of good friends? Like Naaman had, that Naaman's friends healed him from his tzaras. Anyone of Rehim, negative friends, like Rechavim, Shechilka as Machusai, that ended up splitting up his Malchus. Rechavim's Malchus got split with three Shvat and Tetra, the whole thing got split up because of the advice, the poor advice of his friends. The Gemara once on the topic of Rechavim, so the Gemara goes on to explain. What was more things about Rechavim's friends and how bad they were. Says Martanya, Bishimelos Aimer, Im Yamri Lachayot Bnei. If the young ones tell you build, was came to Sarah, and the Zakim tell you demolish, you know what you do? Shmal is the Kane, listen to the elders, listen to the ones with experience, Aishmal is Yaladim, and don't listen to Yaladim. Shabin Yaladim Stira, because the binyan of Yaladim is actually destructive. With Stira Zakanim, binyan, and the demolishing of the Zakanim is actually a binyan. The Simon Ludover and the righteous Rechavim and Shlemer, Rechavim and Shlemer, the story over there, just to remind ourselves, was that after he took over, so the people complained about the taxes, and he got different advice from different people. The elders said, yeah, ease up, give him a little break. You want to be kind to the people, you want them to support you, you want them to all be on your base, and therefore ease up. And the young one said, they're showing weakness. Double down. Do more attacks. Don't give up. Don't be ease up on them. And what happened? He listened to the young ones, and it led to his malchus being separated. There was a rebellion, and his malchus ended up being split in half because of listening to the younger ones. So had he listened to the elder ones, it would have been a short-term detriment, giving up some of the taxes, but long-term, he would have had a malchus shlema. And because he listened to the young ones, it ended up destroying his malchus. That's the binyan of the yeladim is actually destructive. The mashal in on a physical level is, you have a binyan that exists, but it's not, the walls aren't particularly strong. But you want to build a second story on top of the existing building. So the yeladim would say, okay, build a new floor on top of the existing building. That's binyan, but it's all going to collapse. At some point, it's going to be compromised, dangerous, and that's a destructive binyan. Whereas, breaking down the walls and reinforcing them and then building on top of it, that is a steerer, which is really a form of binyan. That's the idea, the mashal of listening to the elders as opposed to listening to the young ones. Again, this is all related to Rechavim, if we quote over here. Now back to the topic of visiting the sick. Amar Shishi Beit Avidi, Leilas Anishin Ketzir, a person shouldn't visit the sick. Leibetas Shai Kat Naisa, not in the first 3 hours of the day. Leibetas Shai Bas Raisa Yemen, not in the last 3 hours of the day. In order not to give up das for rachmanas, meaning if he visited in the first 3 hours, last 3 hours of the day, that'll cause him to take his das away from davening properly for rachmanas. Why? The Gemara explains. Because the first 3 hours of the day, the chayla just had a night's sleep, hopefully a decent night's sleep. He's more kaychas, he's more fresh, and you don't realize that his mind's at ease. You don't realize how serious the predicament is, so you're going to think he's better than he is. You won't dive in the way as stark as he can. And on the flip side, b'sreis attack of chushay. By the end of the day, he's going to be wiped and tired, and he'll look worse for the wear than he really even is, and you're going to give up hope. So that's the other way. So it's not going to happen at the first 3 or the last 3 hours, because it gives a mistaken, exaggerated impression as the status of the chayla, and that can have a negative effect in both directions. Therefore, it's not a good time to visit. Interestingly, the Rambam brings this halacha of Agamara that don't visit in the first 3 hours, last 3 hours of the day. And the Rambam says, you know why? Because those are the times that typically they tend to the chaylam. The aides or the misharsim or the family members, whoever's tending to the chaylam, they tend to the chaylam in the first 3 hours of the day, before, right after wakes up, and the last 3 hours of the day before it's time to go back to sleep. So therefore, it's not a good time to intervene, to get involved, to mess things up. Beautiful pshat, but the mefarshim are bothered. Why is Rambam giving his own pshat? The Gemara says, right after explaining, don't visit the first 3 hours, the last 3 hours, it explains why. Right after saying the halacha, the Merk self explains why is Rambam giving an explanation. So the Kesef Mishnah suggests that Enochami, Rambam must not have had the gears of Agamara. He had the din of Agamara 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours at night, the first 3 hours, the last 3 hours not to visit. But the reasoning that Agamara brings, Rambam obviously didn't have, because otherwise it wouldn't make sense that Rambam would be giving his own reason. Amar Rav. Menayin Shakosh Brochu Zanasakhila. I know Kosh Brochu gives sustenance to the Chayla. Shenemar, Hashem Yisadenu al Eres Devoy. He'll fortify him on the bed of the sickness. Lamar of Rav. Same Amayraim. It's Ravin in the name of Rav. Menayin Shashkina Shuriel Malam Medasa Shachayla. How do you know the Shekhina dwells on top of the bed of the Chayla? Shenemar, Hashem Yisadenu al Eres Devoy. Same Pasuk. Hashem is there fortifying. Hashem is there. Hashem is there. And it's the Shekhinah is there by the bed by the sick bed. Tainam Hachi. So we talk to see a Bryce that elaborates on this point. Hanichas the vakas chaylon goes to visit the chayla. Lo yishev legabi mita legabi sapsol legabi kisei. The person goes to visit the chayla should not sit on top of a bed, on top of the chair, nor on top of a bench. I went out of order. On top of a bench, top of a top of a a bed, bench, or chair. Elamis ativ yoshev agabi karka. Rather sit on the ground. There is discussion. Where's the chayla? Is the chayla on a mita, and that's the mita you should be sitting on? Or is the chayla on the floor, and that's just on the floor? Meaning, if the chayla's on the mita, you still have to sit on the floor? That's really the question. Or, the case we're saying you sit on the floor is when the chayla's on the floor. Either way, the Gemara says, you sit on the floor, and misativ kind of you put yourself in a cloak, because you should realize, appreciate, you're in the presence of the Shekhinah. Mesha Shekhinah shuri lamala, mitas chayla, because the Shekhinah rests in above the sick person, the bed of a sick person. Like we just quoted from Rav Amram, this Bryce says the same exact thing, that the Shekhinah is there. Again, the Ritva clears the Shaila that we just debated, and the Ritva says, if you're sitting b'chal a problem, or it's just sitting higher than the Shekhinah, it's a problem. And the Ritva's noted to the second side. Sitting is not the issue. Sitting, even though the Shekhinah is there, that's not the issue. The issue is sitting, because you could say sitting in the presence of the Shekhinah is an issue, either stand or sit on the floor, but not to sit on a chair. But Richard's night said, no, you could sit on the chair, and most these days, actually, especially with a hospital bed, most chairs are lower than the hospital bed, and it wouldn't be a problem. You could sit, and it's not an issue. It's being higher, sitting higher than the chayla, that would be the problem. But anything outside of that, standing, sitting on the floor, sitting lower than the chayla, would not be problematic. That's the tzad the Richard is night to. Okay. Now, once we have these memories from Rav Namrav, we're going to segue for a couple lines. Again, the whole debate is very short anyway, but we're going to save a couple lines into a memra that will take us into more of a conversation with the Gabi Mikvah, totally unrelated to Birkei Chaylim, and we'll get back to Birkei Chaylim at the end. Again, tomorrow, the Amud Beis is only five or six lines. The last two, three lines of Amud Beis gets back to Birkei Chaylim, as does a continuation into tomorrow's daf. Says Gemara, Amrav, Mitra Marava, when rain falls in Eretz Yisrael, Marava is the west, they were in Bavel, so when rain falls in Eretz Yisrael, Sadarabin Pras, it's a big testimony in the river of the Euphrates. The Euphrates, Pras, gets swollen with water. It comes from the rain, which is what Rav is really saying is that the swelling of the Euphrates River is coming from the rain, which is a discussion. Pliki Shmuel, that's at odds with what Shmuel says. Tamar Shmuel, Nar Mekifim Israel. Shmuel's of the opinion that when rivers get overflowing, it's maybe rain here causes it to have a overflow over there, but the way it works is that the overflow comes from its source. From the base of the river, more water comes out, and that causes overflow. Again, maybe the rain somewhere else caused that, but it's not the rain water falling into the river, it's the river itself that's getting more swollen from its own source. Pligin out. The Gemara says, forget about Shmuel arguing on Rav and Amrav. Shmuel argues on himself. Shmuel himself has a little bit of a steer on this topic. Pligin Shmuel to Shmuel. Shmuel himself is at a little bit of a steer with himself. Damar Shmuel, because Shmuel said elsewhere, "Ein amai matar b'zeichlin." Water, when it's flowing, is not matar. Ella pras b'yom tishrei b'vad. Except for, let's say, pras during Yimei Tishrei. It's got to be pras, and it's got to be Yimei Tishrei. Why is that? Because pras is a time. Pras is a type of water that the levels that it has. Let's say Yimei Tishrei is no longer the levels, those waters are not predominantly rainwaters. Those are waters that came from itself, from underneath, from itself, which sounds like Shmuel is worried about rainwaters. He's worried about snow waters, which he just said a minute ago, that a river is Mesparach Me'aleh. So that seems that's way of our stira. But the point is, there's a fundamental difference between being Matar in rainwater versus Matar in river. In natural Mayan, spring, in river, water, over there, the Lach is Matar even if the water is moving. Whereas rainwaters have to be gathered. It has to be a mikveh hamayim, has to be gathered. So therefore, you cannot be Matar oneself in these moving waters when there's a concern that the majority of the water may be rainwater as opposed to the Iker source. So the fact that Shmuel is contemplating Yipachal, and he's referring even to Pras, shows that he does hold that the waters could come from rain and from snow, and not just from Me'elel. And remember, we just quoted Adam and Aleph, where the Shmuel holds the word come Me'elel, so that's a stira within Shmuel himself. The second member of Shmuel fits with Ravin Amar Rav. Okay, the miracle is one more member of the Mikvah from Avud Shmuel. Again, this is not really our topic, but that's why you have so much run over here on this topic. Really, it could be good to spend time in it. We're not going to elaborate much more. We'll maybe elaborate a little more on Shmuel, Avud Shmuel's din. But this is a big discussion here in the run in this conversation about Mikvahs. Avud Shmuel, Avad. That's why the daf is so short. Avud Shmuel, Avad loin Mikvahs Labanse. We have a nisin umapsi b'em tishrei. Avud Shmuel would make Mikvahs for his the daughters, Shmuel's sisters. Shmuel's father would prepare mikvahs for his daughters during the days of Nisan, and he'd make mats during the days of Tishrei. Now, as a machlokes is why he made those mats. Why do you have those mats? Rashi learns elsewhere, and it's actually the Mefarish over here as well. He made the mats because the concern was that the water level wasn't so high, and they'd go into the water, and their feet would get full of mud between dirt between the toes, and it'd be like a chatzitza. So he made mats to kind of make a break to make sure that there wouldn't be clumps of mud going in between the toes. That's how Rashi learns and Farshans over here. Tosfos learns that it was for tznius purposes. Tosfos says the idea over here was more for tznius. It was mats that when the water level is lower, apparently there's more of a possibility of people to see them going in the mikvah. So you want to have more of a tznius. So for tznius purposes, he made those mats. The Rush brings both. If you look at the Rush, it's easy enough. If you look at the Rush side of the page, the Rush brings Umafatsi Biyami Tishrei. I'm quoting the Russian side. First he says it was like a mechitza for tznius. That's what these mats were, machotzolos. Inami, tas kapas reglame, a tit, shlai yachotz, that there shouldn't be chitza with a tit. With a tit means a plaster, but like the clumps of mud shouldn't be a chitza. So Rashi brings both shat, Rashi pshat and Tosfos pshat of what the concern is. The shaila Rashi is, that halacha is, that you let it put beds, sofas, into water, into a body of water, and be terrible. They get tummy mishkav meishav. We know mishkav meishav makes a bed or a sofa, tummy, chair, you let it put in the water, and they weren't discussing. What about the legs coming in contact with dirt, and maybe dirt with chatzitza, if it goes to the bottom, if it hits the floor? And the Marathi says, because till it gets to the bottom, it had a clear, open and clear water on it, and therefore it's okay. The Mar addresses the issue and says not an issue. And Rashi seems to be saying that it is an issue, the guy with the feet, that's a little bit of an error they have on that they have on Rashi. Okay, let's go further. Let's just start this next Gemara. We'll end up speaking, probably end up chasming again tomorrow. Let's just read the next few lines, and then we'll stop. Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav. Some actually switched the girsa that it could fit, that it's, remember, the last members were Rav and Amar Rav. So if this is Rav and Amar Rav as well, it's even more, again, this is going to get back to, this is, we're going to ultimately get back to Chayla. This itself is not a, is not related to Chayla. So the Ein Yaakov says the Girsa should be Rav Namarav, and therefore that's part of our circle. We talk about members related to Chayla, we segue into members related to Mikvah, now we're getting to members related to Gullus, a couple members, and then we'll get back to Chayla. But the reason why it comes up here is because the same author, namely Rav Namarav. That's the Ein Yaakov, which is our Girsa. Okay. Maidach Sabata ben Adam, Asilacha Klei Gaila. You should make for yourself Klei Gaila. What does that mean? Suner Ukar Vashtiach. That's referring to a ner, a lamp, a kar, a plate, or bowl, Vashtiach. And a mat, which the Ran says it was a mat made of leather, and they used to carry it in order to put it down and sit on it or sleep on it. Says the Gemara, or on top of Memaf and Alf, go another few lines. Becheser Kol, the pasuk says that he didn't serve Hashem in Kisavei. You didn't serve Hashem even when you had abundance. You had good, right? You didn't serve Hashem in Simcha. So now you're going to end up having Cheser Kol. You've been missing everything. Amrav, Ami, Amrav. Again, Girsa, we have Yezrav. Ami, Amrav. And again, L'chayra, you'd have the same change, according to the Yaakov, to be Rav and Amrav. B'lein ner v'lei shulchan, it means without a lamp, without a table, those are the basics. A lamp and a table, v'chizdamer. B'lei ishu, without a wife, shishadamer. B'lei shamish, without a mesheres. V'nachman, b'lei deya, without deya. Tana, the store in the b'risa. B'lei melech v'lei revav, without salt. Melech v'ches, or without revav, without grease, right? Without revav is like a stain, really, elsewhere. But over here means without grease. The Gemara is going to go a little further on this, but let's pause over here. Anyway, tomorrow, have a wonderful rest.